দামোদর অষ্টকম ভার্সেস পেজ নম্বর 93। మామామీశ్వరం సచ్చిదానందరూపం లసల్ కుండలం గోకులే వ్రాజమానం మామామీశ్వరం సచ్చిదానందరూపం లసల్ కుండలం గోకులే వ్రాజమానం యశోదాభియోలుఖదాపమానం పరామృష్టమాత్యందోద్రూత్య గోప్యా యశోదాభియోలుఖరాధావమానం పరామృష్టమాత్యందోద్రూత్య గోప్యా నమామీశ్వరం సచ్చిదానందరూపం లసల్ కుండలం గోకులే వ్రాజమానం యశోదాభియోలుఖదాధావమానం పరామృష్టమాత్యందోద్రూత్య గోప్యా ముహూర్ణే ప్రయుగ్మం వజాందం కరాంభోజయుగ్మేన శాతంగనేత్రం రుదందముహూర్ణే ప్రయుగ్మం వజాందం కరాంభోజయుగ్మేన శాతంగనేత్రం రుదందముహూర్నేత్రయుగ్మం వ్రజాందం కరాంభోజయుగ్మేన శాతంగనేత్రం ముష్వాసకంబం త్రిరేఖాంగఖండై శిరగ్రైవ దామోదరం భక్తిబద్ధం ముహుశ్వాసకంబం త్రిరేఖాంగఖండై శిరగ్రైవ దామోదరం భక్తిబద్ధం ముహుశ్వాసకంబం త్రిరేఖాంగఖండై శిరగ్రైవ దామోదరం భక్తిబద్ధం రుదందముహూర్నేత్రయుగ్మం వ్రజాందం కరాంభోజయుగ్మేన శాతంగనేత్రం ముష్వాసకంబం త్రిరేఖాంగఖండై శిరగ్రైవ దామోదరం భక్తిబద్ధం దృక్సోలీలాభిరానందకుండై సుఘోషం నిమజ్జందమాఖ్యాపయందం ఇది దృక్సోలీలాభిరానందకుండై సుఘోషం నిమజ్జందమాఖ్యాపయందం ఇది దృక్పోలీలాభినానంద కుందే సుఘోషం నిమజ్జందమాఖ్యాభయందం. తురియేషీరజ్ఞేషు భక్తిర్జితత్వం పునః ప్రేమతత్వం సదా వృత్తి వందే. తురియేషీరజ్ఞేషు భక్తిర్జితత్వం పునః ప్రేమతత్వం సదా వృత్తి వందే. ఇది దృక్సోలీలాభిరానందకుండై సుఘోషం నిమజ్జందమాఖ్యాపయందం. తదియేషీదజ్ఞేషు భక్తేర్జితత్వం పునః ప్రేమతత్వం సదా వృత్తి వందే. వరం దేవ మోక్షం న మోక్షావదిం వా న జాన్యం వ్రణేహం వరేషాదీహ. వరం దేవ మోక్షం న మోక్షావదిం వా న జాన్యం వ్రణేహం వరేషాదీహ. ఇదం దేవ పూర్ణాథ గోపాల బాలం సదా మే మమనస్యా విరాష్ట్రం హి మన్యే. ఇదం దేవ పూర్ణాథ గోపాల బాలం సదా మే మనస్యా విరాష్ట్రం హి మన్యే. ఇదం దే ముఖాంబోజమత్యందనీలై వ్రతం కుందలై స్నిగ్ధరక్తైశ్చ గోప్యా. ఇదం దే ముఖాంబోజమత్యందనీలై వ్రతం కుందలై స్నిగ్ధరక్తైశ్చ గోప్యా. ముహుశుంభీదం బింబదం భావదం మే మనస్యా విరాష్ట్రం మలం లక్ష్యలాభై. ముహుశుంభీదం బింభరక్తాధరం మే మనస్యా విరాష్ట్రం మలం లక్ష్యలాభై. ముహుశుంభీదం బింభరక్తాధరం మే మనస్యా విరాష్ట్రం మలం లక్ష్యలాభై. నమో దేవ దామోదరానంద విష్ణు ప్రసిద ప్రభో దుఃఖ జాలాభిమాగ్నం. నమో దేవ దామోదరానంద విష్ణు ప్రసిద ప్రభో దుఃఖ జాలాభిమాగ్నం. కృపా దృష్టి వృష్ట్యాది దీనం యదాశు ఘనిష మామాజ్ఞ మేధ్యక్షి దృశ్య. కృపా దృష్టి వృష్ట్యాది దీనం దదాను గణేశ మామాజ్ఞ మేధ్యక్షి దృశ్య. वादृष्टिवृष्ट्यादिदीनम् ददानो गृहाणेश मामज्ञमेद्यक्षिदृश्य कुबेरात्मजौ भद्रमूर्तेव यद्वा त्वया मोचितौ भक्तिमाजौ क्रियौ च कुबेरात्मजौ भद्रमूर्तेव यद्वा त्वया मोचितौ भक्तिमाजौ क्रियौ च कुबेरात्मजौ भद्रमूर्तेव यद्वा त्वया मोचितौ भक्तिमाजौ क्रियौ च तथा प्रेम भक्तिं सुखा मे प्रयच्छ न मोक्षे गृहो मे सीतामोदरेह तथा प्रेम भक्तिं सुखा मे प्रयच्छ न मोक्षे गृहो मे सीतामोदरेह तथा प्रेम भक्तिं सुखा मे प्रयच्छ न मोक्षे गृहो मे सीतामोदरेह नमस्तेस्तु धाम्ने सुरधीप्ति धाम्ने सुर्योदरायान विश्वास्य धाम्ने नमस्तेस्तु धाम्ने सुरधीप्ति धाम्ने सुर्योदरायान विश्वास्य धाम्ने नमस्तेस्तु धाम्ने सुरधीप्ति धाम्ने सुर्योदरायान विश्वास्य धाम्ने नमो राधिकाय त्वदीया प्रियाय नमो नन्दलीलाय देवाय तुभ्यम् नमो राधिकाय त्वदीया प्रियाय नमो नन्दलीलाय देवाय तुभ्यम् नमो राधिकाय त्वदीया प्रियाय नमो नन्दलीलाय देवाय तुभ्यम् नमामीश्वरं सच्चिदानन्दरूपं लसल्कुण्डलं गोकुले व्राजमानम् नमामीश्वरं सच्चिदानन्दरूपं लसल्कुण्डलं गोकुले व्राजमानम् यशोदाभियोलूखलामानं परामृष्टमात्यन्ततो द्रुत्य गोप्या यशोदाभियोलूखलाधावमानं परामृष्टमत्यन्ततो द्रुत्य गोप्या नमामीश्वरं सच्चिदानन्दरूपं लसल्कुण्डलं गोकुले व्राजमानम् Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jai Radha Madhava, Jaya Kunja Vihari, Jaya Radha Madhava, Jaya Kunja Vihari. Radha Madhava, Jaya Kunja Vihari. Jaya Radha Madhava, Jaya Kunja Vihari. Jaya Girivaradhari, Jaya Girivaradhari, Jaya Girivaradhari, Jaya Girivaradhari, Jaya Girivaradhari, Jaya Yashoda Nandana Braja Janaranjana, Yashoda Nandana Braja Janaranjana, Yashoda Nandana Braja Janaranjana, Yashoda Nandana Braja Janaranjana, Yamuna Tira Vanachari, Yamuna Tira Vanachari, Yamuna सिरवन धारी जय राधा माधवा जय कुंज विहारी जय राधा माधवा जय कुंज विहारी Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Thank you. ಪರಿವ್ರಾಜಗಾಚಾರ್ಯ ಅಷ್ಟೋತ್ತರ ಶತ ಶ್ರೀ ಶ್ರೀಮಾನ್ ಅಭಯ ಚರಣಾರವಿಂದ ಭಕ್ತಿವೇದಾಂತ ಗೋಸ್ವಾಮಿ ಮಹಾರಾಜ ಶೀಲ ಪ್ರಭುಪಾದಕಿ ಜಯ ಓಂ ನಿತ್ಯ ಲೀಲಾ ಪ್ರವಿಷ್ಟ ಓಂ ವಿಷ್ಣುಪಾದ ಪರಮಹಂಸ ಪರಿವ್ರಾಜಗಾಚಾರ್ಯ ಅಷ್ಟೋತ್ತರ ಶತ ಶ್ರೀ ಶ್ರೀಮಾನ್ ಭಕ್ತ ಸಿದ್ಧಾಂತ ಸರಸ್ವತಿ ಮಹಾರಾಜ ಶೀಲ ಪ್ರಭುಪಾದಕಿ ಅನಂತವಡಿ ವೈಷ್ಣವ ಬೃಂದಕಿ ನಾಮಾಚಾರ್ಯ ಶ್ರೀ ಹರಿದಾಸ್ ಠಾಕೂರ್ಕಿ ಪ್ರೇಮ ಸಹೋ ಶ್ರೀಕೃಷ್ಣ ಚೈತನ್ಯ ಪ್ರಭು ನಿತ್ಯಾನಂದ ಶ್ರೀ ಅದ್ವೈತ ಗದಾಧಾರ ಶ್ರೀವಾಸಾದಿ ಗೌರ ಭಕ್ತ ಬೃಂದಕಿ ಶ್ರೀ ಶ್ರೀ ರಾಧಾಕೃಷ್ಣ ಗೋಪಗೋವಿನಾಥ ಶ್ಯಾಮಗುಂಡ ರಾಧಾಗುಂಡಗಿರಿ ಗೋವರ್ಧಾನಕಿ ಬೃಂದಾವನ್ ಧಾಮಕಿ ಮಾಯಪುರ್ ಧಾಮಕಿ ಭದ್ರಪುರಿ ಧಾಮಕಿ ಜಗನ್ನಾಥ್ಪುರಿ ಧಾಮಕಿ ದ್ವಾರಕಾಪುರಿ ಧಾಮಕಿ ಗಂಗಮಾಯಿಕಿ ಯಮುನಮಾಯಿಕಿ ತುಳಸಿದೇವಿಕಿ ಭಕ್ತಿದೇವಿಕಿ ಸಾಮವೇದ ಭಕ್ತವೃಂದಕಿ ಗೌರ್ ಪ್ರೇಮಾನಂದಿ ಆಲ್ ಗ್ಲೋರಿಯಸ್ ಟು ದಿ ಅಸೆಂಬಲ್ಡ್ ಡಿವೋಟೀಸ್ ಆಲ್ ಗ್ಲೋರಿಯಸ್ ಟು ದಿ ಅಸೆಂಬಲ್ಡ್ ಡಿವೋಟೀಸ್ ಆಲ್ ಗ್ಲೋರಿಯಸ್ ಟು ದಿ ಅಸೆಂಬಲ್ಡ್ ಡಿವೋಟೀಸ್ ಆಲ್ ಗ್ಲೋರಿಯಸ್ ಆಲ್ ಗ್ಲೋರಿಯಸ್ ಶ್ರೀ ಶ್ರೀ ಗುರು ಎನ್ ಶ್ರೀ ಗೌರಾಂಗ ಆಲ್ ಗ್ಲೋರಿಯಸ್ ಶ್ರೀಲ ಪ್ರಭುಪಾದ ನಮಾಂ ವಿಷ್ಣುಪದಾಯ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಪ್ರಸ್ಥಾಯ ಭೂತಲೆ ಶ್ರೀಮದ್ ಭಕ್ತಿ ವೇದಾಂತ ಸ್ವಾಮಿನಿ ದಿನಾಮಿನೇ ನಮಸ್ತೆ ಸರಸ್ವದೇವಂ ಗೌರವಾಣಿ ಪ್ರಜಾರಿಣೇ ನಿರ್ವಿಶೇಷ ಶೂನ್ಯವಾದಿ ಪಾಶ್ಚಾತ್ಯ ದೇಶಧಾರಿಣಿ ಓಂ ನಮೋ ಭಗವತೆ ವಾಸುದೇವಾಯ ಓಂ ನಮೋ ಭಗವತೆ ವಾಸುದೇವಾಯ ಓಂ ನಮೋ ಭಗವತೆ ವಾಸುದೇವಾಯ ಸಂಸಾರ ಸಾಗರೇ ಮಗ್ನಂ ದೀನಂ ಮಾಂ ಕರುಣಾನಿಧೇ ಕರ್ಮಗ್ರಾಹ ಗೃಹೀತಾಂಗಂ ಮಾಮುದ್ಧರ ಭವಾರ್ಣವಾತ್ ಶ್ರೀಮದ್ಭಾಗವದಾಖ್ಯೋಯಂ ಪ್ರತ್ಯಕ್ಷ ಕೃಷ್ಣಮೇವ ಹಿ ಸ್ವೀಕೃತೋಸಿ ಮಯಾ ನಾಥ ಮುಕ್ತ್ಯರ್ಥಂ ಭವ ಸಾಗರೇ ಮನೋರಥೆ ಮದೀಯೋಯಂ ಸಫಲಾ ಸರ್ವದಾ ತ್ವಯಾ ನಿರ್ವಿಘ್ನೇನೈವ ಕರ್ತವ್ಯಂ ದಾಸೋಹಂ ತವ ಕೇಶವ ಭವೇ ಭವೇ ಯಥಾ ಭಕ್ತಿ ಪಾದಯೋರ್ಸ್ತವ ಜಾಯತೆ ತಥಾ ಕುರುಷ್ವ ದೇವೇಶ ನಾಥಸ್ತ್ವಂ ನೋ ಯದ ಪ್ರಭೋ ನಾಮ ಸಂಕೀರ್ತನಂ ಯಸ್ಯ ಸರ್ವಭಾವ ಪ್ರಣಾಶನಂ ಪ್ರಣಾಮೋ ದುಃಖ ಶಮನಂ ತಂ ನಮಾಮಿ ಹರಿಂ ಪರಂ ಜನ್ಮಾದ್ಯಸ್ಯ ಯಥೋನ್ವಯ ಇತರತಃ ಅರ್ಥೇಷ್ವಭಿಜ್ಞಸ್ವರಾಟ್ ತೇನೇ ಬ್ರಹ್ಮ ಹೃದಯ ಆದಿ ಕವಯೇ ಮುಹ್ಯಂತಿ ಯತ್ ಸೂರಯ ತೇಜೋ ವಾರಿ ಮೃದಂ ಯಥಾ ವಿನಿಮಯೋ ಯತ್ರ ತ್ರಿಸರ್ಗೋ ಮೃಷಾ ಧಾಮ್ನಾ ಸ್ವೇನ ಸದಾ ನಿರಸ್ತಕುಹಗಂ ಸತ್ಯಂ ಪರಂ ಧೀಮಹಿ ಧರ್ಮ ಪ್ರೋಜ್ಜಿತ ಕೈದವೋತ್ರ ಪರಮೋ ನಿರ್ಮತ್ಸರಾಣಾಂ ಸದಾ ವೇದ್ಯಂ ವಾಸ್ತವಮತ್ರ ವಸ್ತು ಶಿವದಂ ತಾಪತ್ರಯೋನ್ಮೂಲನಂ ಶ್ರೀಮದ್ಭಾಗವತೇ ಮಹಾಮುನಿ ಕೃತೇ ಕಿಂ ವಾಪರೈಶ್ವರೈ ಸದ್ಯೋ ಹೃದ್ಯವರುಧ್ಯದೇತ್ರ ಕೃತಿಭಿಃ ಶುಶ್ರೂಷುಭಿಃ ತಕ್ಷಣಾತ್ ನಿಗಮಗಲ್ಪದರೋರ್ಗಲಿತಂ ಫಲಂ ಶುಕಮುಖಾದಮೃತದ್ರವ ಸಂಯುಧಂ ಪಿಬದ ಭಾಗವತಂ ರಸಮಾಲಯಂ ಮುಹುರಹೋರಸಿಗಾ ಭುವಿ ಭಾವುಕಾಃ ಸಚ್ಚಿದಾನಂದರೂಪಾಯ ವಿಶ್ವೋಲ್ಪತ್ಯಾದಿಹೇದವೇ ತಾಪತ್ರಯ ವಿನಾಶಾಯ ಶ್ರೀಕೃಷ್ಣಾಯ ವಯಂ ನುಮಃ ಯಂ ಪ್ರವ್ರಜಂತಮನುಭೇದಮಭೇದಕೃತ್ಯಂ ದ್ವೈಪಾಯನೋ ವಿರಹಕಾದರಮಜ್ಜುಹಾವಾಂ പുത്രേതിതന്മയതയത്തരവോഭിനേതു തം സർവഭൂതഹൃദയം മുനിം ആനതോസ്മി യസ്വാനുഭാവമഖില ശ്രുതിസാരമേകം അധ്യാത്മദീപമതിതിതീർഷതാം തമോന്ധം സംസാരിണാം കരുണയാഹ പുരാണഗുഹ്യം തം വ്യാസസൂനമുപയാമി ഗുരും മുനീനാം നാരായണം നമസ്കൃത്യ നരം ചൈവ നരോത്തമം ദേവീം സരസ്വതീം വ്യാസം തതോ ജയമുദീരയേ കമനീയ കിശോരമുഗ്ധമൂർത്തേ കലവേണുക്കുണിദാദ്രദാനനേന്ദോ മമ വാചി വിജൃംഭദാ മുരാരേർമധുരിം നാ കണികാഭി കാഭികാഭി നമാവോം വിഷ്ണുപദായ കൃഷ്ണപ്രസ്ഥായ ഭൂതലേ ശ്രീമദേ ഭക്തിവേദാന്ത സ്വാമിനിതി നാമിനേ നമസ്തേ സരസ്വതി ദേവീം ഗൗരവാണി പ്രചാരിണേ നിർവിശേഷ ശൂന്യവാദി പാശ്ചാത്യ ദേശധാരിണേ ശ്രീമൽ ഗുരുചരണാരവിന്ദാഭ്യാം നമ വന്ദേ നന്ദവ്രജ സ്ത്രീണാം പാദരേണുമഭീഷ്ണശാ യാസാം ഹരിഗതോദ്ഗീതം പുനാദി ഭുവനത്രയം ഗോപീചരണാരവിന്ദ പരമാണവേ നമ പീതാംബരം കരവിരാജിത ചക്രശംഖം കൗമോദകീ സരസിജം കരുണാസമുദ്രം രാധാസഹായം അതിസുന്ദരമന്ദഹാസം വാതാലയേശമനിശം ഹൃദി ഭാവയാമി കോമളം കൂജയൻ വേണം ശ്യാമളോയം കുമാരക വേദവേദ്യപരം ബ്രഹ്മ ഭാസദാം പുരതോ മമ മൂകം കരോതി വാചാലം പങ്കും ലംഘയതേ ഗിരിം യൽകൃപാതമഹം വന്ദേ പരമാനന്ദമാധവം ശ്രീകൃഷ്ണായ നമ ശ്രീമതി രാധയായേ നമ സർവത്ര ഗോവിന്ദനാമ സങ്കീർത്തനം ഗോവിന്ദ ഗോവിന്ദ So, we were discussing last Sunday from the Bhagavad Gita in relationship with Dhyana Yoga, isn't it? Meditation. As we have discussed so many times and repeatedly mentioned this, Dhyanam is something that has to happen. It's not something you can do that. What happens is that due to continuous engagement in Krishna consciousness, Dhyanam, naturally, it comes to a person. It comes to a person in a natural way. And that is why you can see, out of the Dhyanam is a process among the eightfold yoga system also, isn't it? In Ashtanga yoga system, we have eight processes. Yamam, Niyamam, Asanam, Pranayamam, Pratyaharam, Dharana, Dhyanam, Samadhi. So there you can see, Dhyanam is the last one just before Samadhi. From there you can understand that before coming to Samadhi, Dhyanam state, one has to have Yamam, Niyamam, Asanam, Pranayamam, Pratyaharam, Dharana. It's after that Dhyanam happens. This eightfold of yoga system is from Patanjali's Yoga Sutra. So Dhyanam is something that happens at a very, very late stage. So perhaps most of us think that, oh, let me take to Dhyanam process, let me give it a try, but it doesn't work. It doesn't work like that. That's first thing to understand. In fact, when we read Srimad Bhagavatam, we also have to understand that many things in the Srimad Bhagavatam is only understood at a stage when one has completely comes to the Dhyanam stage. That's when one understands properly Bhagavatam. Just like Bhagavatam is studied by different people in different ways. I don't know whether you have observed this. Different people read Srimad Bhagavatam in different ways. Some people, they just read the verses only. They say that it is just enough if I read just the verses, all the 18,000 verses they will read through. And they won't read anything else.
They just by the vibration of sound, vibration of those verses, they feel they are getting the purification and they are reaching that state of Krishna consciousness, what they want to be. That is one's way of reading Srimad Bhagavatam, just reading the verses without any other translation purports, nothing, just reading the verses. Then there are other people, these are all different ways people read Srimad Bhagavatam. If you observe, you will see this. Other people, they read Srimad Bhagavatam chapter by chapter. They will know the summary of each chapter. They will capture that, the summary of each chapter. They will know what's written in that particular chapter. More details, they will not go into it. Just extract the summary from each chapter and they'll keep to themselves that. They will know where in Srimad Bhagavatam a particular thing is spoken and they can straight away tell you because they know every chapter what is spoken there. Then there are other people who goes taking every verse and start analyzing it. Every verse and start analyzing this. So they know that verse by verse they will remember Srimad Bhagavatam. Every verse they will remember Srimad Bhagavatam. In that way, they will know from each verse what is to be understood. They will know from each verse what is to be understood. In other words, they follow the verses sincerely. They follow the verses sincerely. But they'll understand the essence of the verse and they will take that into their understanding. This is another group of people. Then there are those who break each verse into words, word by word, padana padam. Each word they will take, from there they will extract a different understanding from, just like if you can see, once Chaitanya Mahaprabhu spoke about Atmarama verse in 64 different ways, isn't it? So therefore there it was broken into word by word. That verse is broken into several words and each word was analyzed and the meaning was extracted from that, understanding from that verse. This is another way of studying Srimad Bhagavatam. Then there are people who read translation purport. And they will only be satisfied with that. They don't want anything else. They don't want to hear anything from anybody else. Just what is written in the translation and purport. That's all. They take that as the summary of everything, of the Bhagavatam. So like this, you can see people study Srimad Bhagavatam in different ways. But then there is another group who does not belong to any of this group. What do? They know how to extract the juice out of Bhagavatam. The juice from the Srimad. Because they have studied Bhagavatam so well, they know what Bhagavatam is talking about. They know what Bhagavatam is talking about. And that is the best understanding of Srimad Bhagavatam. That there is no doubts after that. After I come to that stage, then there is no more doubts in Srimad Bhagavatam. Because Bhagavatam is saying to us certain things. And if we have understood, that is called Bhagavata Dharmam, isn't it? Bhagavata Dharmam is that stage when we understand the message of Srimad Bhagavatam. That is called Bhagavata Dharmam. So they have understood Bhagavata Dharmam and all what is spoken in the Srimad Bhagavatam, they can translate that into their own life in this world. It is those personalities who have understood Srimad Bhagavatam in that way, they can transmit the message of Bhagavatam to others as well. So, Srimad Bhagavatam, when we talking about, we have to know this because when Srimad Bhagavatam's message is very profound, it is the, in the end of Srimad Bhagavatam, you will see that what is Srimad Bhagavatam? Srimad Bhagavatam is the essence of all the Vedic literature. Kaivalyaika Prayojanam, it says. After Srimad Bhagavatam has been absorbed, then there is no more further discussion about anything on spiritual life. It is over with Srimad Bhagavatam. Though Adhudiyam Tannishtam Kaivalyaika Prayojanam Vastu. Vastu means the topic that is discussed in the Srimad Bhagavatam is Adhudiyam. And Kaivalyaika Prayojanam, it is for the those who wants to release themselves from this material existence. So, We have seen before in Narada Bhakti Sutram, Sri Narada Maharshi says, Svatvasmin Parama Prema Rupa. Bhakti was defined in that way, isn't it? Svatvasmin Parama Prema Rupa. Parama Prema Rupa Bhaktihi. That is what Narada Maharshi says about Bhakti. This is an important thing. Bhakti, we understand in one way, Shastram define in another way. So, what does Bhakti means? So, normally we have priyam or attachment to the worldly objects, sense objects. We have attachment for the sense objects. When we have attachment for the sense objects, it is called asakti. Asakti is the word in the Shastram for that. Attachment for sense objects. For example, our attachment to different sense enjoyment, different kinds of sense enjoyment. Our attachment to, say for example, in a family, husband to wife, wife to husband, father to children, children to the parents, and relations, friends. All this is classified under the title Asakti. Under the title Asakti. So, Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita that Krishna uses the word my asakta manapartha yogam yunjan madashraya asamshayam samagrammam yadhajnyasati tachrunu. A verse will come later. There Krishna says my asakta manapartha. There Krishna used the word asakti instead of bhakti. Instead of bhakti. Because we will not understand what bhakti means. That is the problem. Understand what bhakti means. Whereas we will easily understand the word asakti. Asakti we can understand. We say about bhakti, bhakti, we talk about bhakti. And we will say that we are bhaktas, we will feel proud about it, we are devotees, we are bhakti and all that. But strictly speaking, we don't know what is bhakti means. At this stage, we don't know what bhakti means. All those experiences, what we are going through bhakti at the moment, what we say in this world, that that is actually referred to as a vigaram. Vigaram means something that is changing. Something that is changing. But asakti, everybody understands. Asakti, everybody understands. For example, father or mother have asakti towards the children, or the wife to the husband, or to the wealth, or to the house, or to one's own life. All this is known as asakti. And Krishna has used that word, my asakta manapartha. That asakti, if it is towards for Krishna, it is bhakti. It is bhakti. Everything else is asakti. Similarly, such a powerful feeling what a person has for others in this world, for example, friends or relatives, or to wealth, or to home, or to anything in this world. If one has an asakti, such a powerful attachment, if one has for Krishna, it is called bhakti. It is called bhakti. And when we say attachment to Krishna, in other words, what it means is, when one has similar asakti or attachment, what he has for all the other things in this world, of sense objects, or the wealth, or the sense gratification, what he has got asakti. If that asakti is there towards the soul inside, in the soul, then that is bhakti. That is bhakti. That is the difference. Asakti in the material world to all the sense objects and sense enjoyment is called asakti. Attachment is called asakti. When the same attachment, when we have for the soul, it is called bhakti. It is called bhakti. So you can see where that difference is. A clear difference between asakti and bhakti. What we have got now is asakti. And what we have got, what we have misunderstood as bhakti is vigaram. Vigaram means something that comes and goes, comes and goes. It comes and goes. Our bhakti stays for a few seconds and then it's gone. It doesn't come back for many days then. Or if it comes once again. Or if it comes, it may be a yearly affair. Sometimes it may say, oh, Kartik time has come, let's become a devotee now. Otherwise, we are not devotees. We have something else in our mind going through. So, that is where, that is what that verse, if you remember, mayasakta manapartha yogam yunjan madashraya. Krishna says, asamshayam samagrammam yadha jnasasi tat shrunu. He says there, Krishna is saying there, asamshayam samagrammam, that is the quality of bhakti. For example, why did he use that samagram? Word samagram means that incomplete. Complete means once you have gone to that stage, you don't come back from there again. Samagram. For example, all the other kinds of bhakti, what we talk about, then it is not samagram, isn't it? It's not samagram. For example, you will see that at some point, everybody gets this. Little realizations in life, in spiritual life, isn't it? Sometimes you feel some little help somewhere, you were in difficulty, some help came from Krishna. It happened. Immediately you start saying, I'm a devotee, look and see how Krishna has done it for me. So a little experience, but that won't stay very long. It will stay for a day or two, or perhaps for a month or a year, and then it will be gone, forgotten. And after a few years, you may not even remember that such a thing has happened. So little experiences in life like that sometimes comes, isn't it? Little experience, something you were desiring to have it and it so happened. And then you were praying to Krishna for that inside, and somehow when it happened, you felt that Krishna has actually rewarded me, answered my prayers, or you feel that something has happened and you knew that it was not going to happen due to your own effort. Some experiences like that in life, either you got cured from an illness, an operation went very well, or son got married, daughter got married, or found a job what you were desiring for, or whatever that is. Our list is endless, so that we cannot discuss it because that's such a big list. So in that list, if anything comes through properly in this world, immediately we feel, it is because of my bhakti. You feel like that. So that is, we misunderstood as bhakti. Another thing is, sometimes if you are chanting or if you are reading Srimad Bhagavatam, if you are associating with devotees closely, and over a long period of time, suddenly you will start getting some dreams at night. Something will happen. Some dream, once in a way it may happen, not that every day it will happen. Once in a way, a little dream of something related to Krishna consciousness may happen. But that comes and that goes. All that is coming, going. Nothing stays. None of these stays. They all come and go. Because they come and go, it is referred to as vigaram. It's not bhakti. It's considered as vigaram. Bhakti is that state from which you don't go back again. You have reached that state. The perfectional stage, that is bhakti. That means you do not forget Krishna anymore after that. Krishna has become the all the thought process, all the time the mind, everything is absorbed in Krishna. When that stage, that is why Krishna is saying, asamshayam samagrammam. Samagram means incomplete. It has reached the perfectional stage. When it gets to that stage, yadha jnasasi tachrunu. Here about that, Krishna talks about bhakti in that way. Maya veshya, maya saktamana partha. Yogam yunjan madashraya asamshayam samagramam yathajnya sesita chranum. So Krishna's definition of bhakti is like that. So, and when we have constantly, without break, continuously experiencing Krishna in this life, that is, Krishna calls it as bhakti. That is bhakti. And that is reserved exclusively for only few people who have completely surrendered to Krishna. It's only for them. Unless one has done that surrender, it is not going to happen. Up to that time, this bhakti will go on, which is addressed as generally as vigaram. Vigaram is nothing but this. It comes, it goes. It stays for some time, you feel good. Once it's gone, you feel bad. And then it may come back after a month or so. And then again you feel, but then you start thinking why it's not, the train is not moving further. So that's where this problem comes. So that's why in the Bhakti Sutram, Narada Maharshi said, Swatvasmin Parama Prema Rupa. So he mentions there that Bhakti, Asmin Parama Prema Rupa Bhaktihi. Asmin Parama Prema Rupa Bhaktihi. Bhakti is that thing, that Parama Prema for Krishna. There is no more going back from that. It's only Krishna that is existing after that. When that stage comes, that is bhakti. That is bhakti. So this is about the definition of bhakti. What we were saying that was, only when one has surrendered to Krishna, Sharanagati happens, only at that time, once that has happened, then Krishna cannot go away. That's the problem. Krishna cannot separate himself from the devotee after that. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, Sudeva Goswami presents an example like that. An example like that. I don't know whether you have noticed this. Somebody surrendered to Krishna in a particular way, and after that Krishna says to him, I cannot leave you anymore. Krishna said to the devotee, I cannot leave you anymore. Mahabali. Remember that? Mahabali, what happened? Mahabali ultimately surrendered to Krishna. Mahabali ultimately surrendered to Krishna. He had no choice, isn't it? It's a very very logical process also. What if you read Srimad Bhagavatam, you will know this. That at what stage Sharanagati happens and how Sharanagati happens, it is explained in the Srimad Bhagavatam. It is explained in the Srimad Bhagavatam. When Mahabali surrendered to Krishna and he was sent to Sutalam, you know that story in the Bhagavatam in the 8th canto, that Mahabali owned the whole 3 planetary systems. He was running. Aditi Devi, the mother of the demigods, felt very sad that her children have lost the control of the heavenly planets. She prayed, Kashyapa Prajapati and Aditi Devi prayed to Krishna, and Krishna appeared as Vamanamurti. Vamanamurti appeared and took back all the assets, all the 3 planetary systems from Mahabali by measuring with his feet, isn't it? In 3 feet, he measured the whole 3 planetary systems, and for the 3rd feet, he wanted to put his feet and there was no space. That you have to read in the Bhagavatam, that story. So, there it is spoken that when Mahabali had nothing to offer at the end, he showed his head to Krishna and told Krishna, if you won't extend your leg anymore further, here is your place for the 3rd feet. Mahabali put this condition to Krishna. The way you have measured the 1st and 2nd feet, Mahabali never expected that such a way things could be measured. Our concept of time and space all goes when you start reading Bhagavatam. We start thinking, how could Krishna measure like that? And how many meters was it? Or how many kilometers? All these kind of questions we'll ask. Our intelligent brain will start working that way. But when Krishna measured, in 1 foot he measured from all the heavenly planets. And 2nd foot he measured all the lower planetary systems. And for the 3rd feet, Krishna asked, where do I put my 3rd feet? Mahabali understood, this is not that brahmachari what he was thinking about. And he showed his head to Krishna and told Krishna that, if you won't extend it any more further, here is where you can put your 3rd feet. So when Mahabali surrendered in that way, Krishna says to Mahabali, you can go to Sutalam now. The planet Sutalam, which is as opulent as the heavenly planets, you stay there. But with one difference. What is that difference? Rekshishye sarvadohatvam sanugam sabarichadam sadasannihido veera. Drakshamam, he says, my dear friend Mahabali, he says to Mahabali, Mahabali, you go to Sutalam, but Rakshishe sarvadogam tvam sanugam sabarichadam sada sannihidam veera. That you will see one thing there, I will be there with you all the time. All the time, even today, Krishna is still Vamanamurti with Mahabali in the Sutalam planet. Till when? Till the next time when Mahabali becomes Indra, up to that time Mahabali will stay in Sutalam and Krishna will be present there as Vamanamurti with Mahabali. This is the word Krishna has given to him. Rekshishye sarvadoham tvam sanugam sabarichadam, that I will protect you from everything. From everything. And that is surrender. That is bhakti. That is Sharanagati. Sharanagati means that Once somebody has performed Sharanagati, once he has surrendered to Krishna, then Krishna says, then it is my problem. not your problem anymore. It's my problem. Up to that point, it's our problem. Till we surrender, it's all our problem. So, so that experience, always being with us, never separated from Krishna anymore, that is Sharanagati. So, this is not the bhakti what we are used to, isn't it? Our bhakti is Krishna should not bother us. That's our bhakti. As long as you don't bother us, fine with us. So, that is why prema praudi tol bhakti sture samrada jari nirmarjanena swayam siddhyandi vimala prabhoda padavi aklesha tastanyadi sadya siddhigari jayadi ai vibho saivastu me tulpada prema praudi rasardrada drudadaram. So, tol bhakti stu kathara samrada jari. How will that bhakti will come to a person? That is, it says a prema praudhirasardhrada drudadaram. Premam which is proudham. Premam which is proudham. What is that? Prema praudhirasardhrada drudadaram. When that bhakti which is premam, which is proudham, which is so deep, once that happens, what will happen? Rasardhrada drudadaram. There is no more mind after that. The mind has melted away. The mind is completely melted away. So, this is Narada Maharshi considers as the topmost situation. There is no more mind controlling anymore. Bhakti has come to that level of Krishna consciousness, has come to that stage, that it is no more in the state like we refer to as bhakti. Our bhakti, as I mentioned, it is not considered as bhakti, it is considered as a vigaram what we experience. For example, when you are chanting, when you are dancing, when you are in kirtanam also, you will feel some ecstasy for some time. That is a vigaram. It comes, it goes, it doesn't stay. It doesn't stay. As long as you leave the room or as long as you leave the temple room, you feel miserable again. So that is a vigaram. That has come, that has gone. But this bhakti, what is referred to in the Srimad Bhagavatam, is like this: that muktim dadahi karhi jilsmana bhakti yogam. If you look into the fifth canto, after talking about Maharaj Rishabhadev's pastimes, Parikshit Maharaj asked this question to Sukadeva Goswami, that how come Rishabhadev has spoken about mukti so much? Sudeva Goswami says to Parikshit, Parikshit, it is like this, that mukti Krishna gives to many people. In fact, if you look Krishnavadaram, Krishna's appearance in this world, Krishna's pastime is the feast of mukti, isn't it? Everyone who has come, he says, you go back to spiritual world. All the demons were sent back to spiritual world, Kamsa, Jarasandha, Shishubala, Dandavakra, so on and so forth. Everyone was sent back. Either Krishna sent them back or Balaram had sent them back to the spiritual world. So, but mukti Krishna gives, but when it comes to bhakti, Krishna keeps back. Muktim dadadi karhi jilsmana bhakti yogam. He says bhakti, he thinks a lot before it's given. What is the reason for that? Because once it's given, then this is the situation. Like Mahabali had to stay, that Krishna has to stay there all the time to looking after the devotee. Mahabali is still there in Sudalam and Krishna is still there with Mahabali. You may think, is this all true? What is written? Is this somebody saying, so where is Sudalam, where is Mahabali, where is Krishna? If you ask all that question, somebody went from here to check it, to check it out. Is it true or not? Who? Not an ordinary person, a very great personality. Ravana went there to see if still Krishna is still there or not. Vamanamurti is still there or not. When he went there, Ravana with his 10 heads and with a full of pride goes there. He was a friend of Mahabali. Ravana was a friend of Mahabali. Yeah, if you could please move a little bit to the front. So, Ravana was a... please come. Space here. So, Ravana was a friend of Mahabali, and Ravana went to see Mahabali, and when he went there, Vamanamurti was standing at the gate, as a gatekeeper. So Ravana went there and saw this, is less than 3 feet, isn't it? 2 feet 9 or something. That is Vamanamurti's height. He was standing there. Ravana goes there and saw him standing. When Ravana entered, he put that bar there. You know, just like when the car goes in, it falls in the front, isn't it? Similarly, to the car park, in the same way, he put that stick. Vamanamurti had a stick in the hand and put the stop Ravana going in, didn't let him in. Ravana got angry. This small person telling him that Ravana with his 10 heads and a huge body, real Rashasa, isn't it? So he walks in and he says, no, you can't get in, he said. Ravana says to him, do you know who I am? He says, I am Ravana. He says, whoever it may be, he says, you are not going in now. You are waiting here, he said. Why? He says, Mahabali is busy with his Jabam, Tabam, all the performance of his spiritual activities. He was busy with that. So you can't go in, he says. Tell him that Ravana has come, he says. He says to Vamanamurti. Vamanamurti says, I don't convey any messages. You wait here. After it is finished, if he has time, he will see you. This was Vamanamurti's answer to Ravana. Ravana forcefully tried to enter. Vamanamurti gave him a kick. Vamanamurti kicked in such a way. If you look into Bhagavatam, you will see. Suddenly in Lanka, they saw a figure coming upside down with 10 heads down. It came and landed in front of the palace. When they saw that, Ravana never mentioned this to anybody. He didn't want to, because for him it was a shameful thing to tell anyone that Ravana has been kicked out from the Suthalam. And from there he fell all the way and fell and landed here. So at that time, Sri Sukadeva Goswami says that Ravana went to test there, but the testing ended up like this. So we better not to test it and not to accept what Bhagavatam is telling us, that it is still there. So if you think that you want to go and test in Suthalam, that if it is all true, Ravana has tested and the results are already there. So we don't have to worry about it. So the thing is this, that in the Srimad Bhagavatam, when this is spoken, he says there, Muktim dadadi karhi jilsmana bhakti yogam. Bhakti is not given easily. Bhakti, we have to wait. It is a long haul. Bhakti process is a long haul. Reason is, we misunderstand so many things as bhakti, and we start thinking that, oh, I am become a devotee. But what Sudeva Goswami is saying here, bhaktim dadadi karhi jalsmana bhakti yogam. Bhakti yogam is not easily given to a devotee. So that is why it is mentioned that this experience of mukti. Mukti means what? Mukti means self-realization. Tatvajnanam. Full knowledge of the self. Full knowledge of the self. So once you have realized the self, then you have reached the state of mukti. But what is bhakti then? Continuous experience of that bliss. Satta, chitta, anandam. Isn't it? That experience of the bliss continuously is bhakti. Is bhakti. Continuous experience. Then, so therefore, parabhakti and mukti, what is actually the difference? Because mukti means self-realization, knowledge of the soul. But parabhakti is that, sir, continuously he is experiencing, apart from self-realization, he is also experiencing the love for Krishna, constantly experiencing that. Therefore it is said that swasvarupanu anusandhanam bhaktiriti abhidhiyate. There is a definition for bhakti like that. Swasvarupam anusandhanam. Anusandhanam means constantly feeling that realization, constantly feeling experience of that bliss, continuously experiencing. That is anusandhanam. Swasvarupam. Swarupam is Krishna's presence inside, is swasvarupam. Swasvarupa anusandhanam bhaktiriti abhidhiyate. That is the perfect state of bhakti. What acharyas are talking about, what the sages are talking about, what all the great devotees are talking about. That's a different thing altogether than what we ordinary people call as bhakti. That's a different state altogether. That comes after self-realization. That means when mukti has come, tatvajnanam, through self-knowledge of the self and self-realization, we have reached the stage and then start experiencing the higher taste of the soul. completely feeling that blissful experience, anandam, satta chitta anandam, that anandam stage, when one is fully experiencing it, complete in all state, all the time, continuously, without break, then that is bhakti. That is bhakti. So, we know what is bhakti means, isn't it? We should not say to anybody, we are all great devotees, because then we will be, the person who heard that also will misunderstand. Because I put tilak on, shikha on and dhoti on, doesn't mean that I become a bhakta or a devotee. For vyavaharam, that's fine, for the transactions in this world. But when you come to shastram, shastram defines bhakti like this. That sattvasmin, that is why all these definitions of bhakti, that should be very clear in our head when we say before, what is bhakti? So continuously when one is experiencing that bliss in this life is jivan mukti. It's the continuous experience is jivan mukti. So, tattvajnanam also, self-realization, sometimes it may leave also due to vyavaharam in this world. It can happen like that. But when one does not happen, when that does not happen without any interruption in this world, when one is experiencing that Krishna's presence, sannidhyam, all the time, inside, outside, everywhere, Krishna's presence everywhere, then that is bhakti. That's why it said, tol bhakti sture samrada kathara samrada jari nirmarjanena swayam siddhyandi vimala prabodha padavi aklesha tastanyudi. Tol bhakti sture samrada kathara samrada jari. How will that happen? First thing in that step is katharasam. Rasam for katha, for Srimad Bhagavatam, in other words. When one gets attracted to Bhagavatam, this is an interesting subject because everyone has doubt about this, isn't it? If I hear some stories, this is going to happen, they'll say. And some people also say, I have been hearing this for so long, but nothing has happened. So, in the negative way, they have accepted that. Now, let us see why it is like that. Tol bhaktistu kathara samradajari nirmarjanena swayam siddhyandi. When one absorbed in Krishna, when one is absorbed in Srimad Bhagavatam, great devotees are telling us, in automatically, katharasamrudajari, katharasam. From katharasam, amrudajari, it is like a nectar, it will start flowing. Swayam siddhyandi, automatically it will happen. Vimala prabhoda padavim aklesha tastanvadi. After that, there is no more klesham. No more endeavor for anything. It has happened. And that is the dhyanam state we are talking about. Meditation stage is that. Stul bhaktistu kathara samradajari nirmarjanena swayam siddhyandi vimala prabhoda padavi aklesha tastanvadi. That at that stage, prabhoda padavi, that stage of perfection is such in bhakti, one does not experience the any more hindrances. In the Bhagavatam, the word used is ahitugi bhakti. Ahitugi bhakti means there is no more cause behind it. It is simply love for Krishna. Without any reason. That not business with Krishna anymore. Business is finished. It is a love for Krishna without any more calculations or any more plans behind it. It is completely unalloyed, pure devotion as it is referred to. So, tol bhaktistu kathara samradajari nirmarjanena swayam siddhyandi vimala prabodha padavim aklesha tastanvadi. That there is no more endeavor after that. Now, this state, why it doesn't happen to all of us is this. That because we got used to sense gratification so much, in so many lifetimes, we have no taste for Bhagavatam. We have no taste for Bhagavatam. The acharyas who have absorbed in the Srimad Bhagavatam, they are telling us that if our sense gratification has gone on for many, many lifetimes, and even in this lifetime, suddenly one day if we take Srimad Bhagavatam and read, and if we want to get attached to Bhagavatam, it's very difficult. It's very difficult. The reason is very simple. You can see this by example also. Nowadays, most of the children, if you give them fruits or if you give them some pure prasadam, they have no taste for it. Have you noticed? Why? If you offer them Cadbury's chocolate, Walker's crisps, crisps and ice cream with vanilla flavor or whatever, they will grab it straight away. They'll take it. But if you give them what Srimad Bhagavatam mentioned when Krishna had Govardhana Puja, if you remember, there it's mentioned what Krishna wanted to eat, isn't it? And the Maharaj had to prepare everything. Shashkuli, Modakam, so many things listed there. Any of them, if you prepare and give it to them, they say, oh, no, it's no taste. They will say, it has no taste. Why? Why is that? They got used to this. Cadbury's and Walker Scripps and all, you're not complaining about the companies, they have to do their business. But we have to see why this has happened. Because you got used to that, when you are offered something pure, as prasadam, as Krishna liked, even you can say that much in the Bhagavatam, list is mentioned there what Krishna likes there. Isn't it? Krishna says to Nanda Maharaj, all these preparations I like to eat. And all of them are natural way of cooking, first class preparations and eat. You give them to the children, they won't eat it. They have no taste for it. Why? The taste has developed for something else. Similarly, because we got addicted to sense gratification in several lifetimes and even in this life, when we hear Srimad Bhagavatam, we have no taste. This is the problem. This is the only problem. There's no other problem. Just due to our own sense gratification, what we have enjoyed in so many lifetimes, and suddenly we want to become a pure devotee one fine morning, that will not happen. That's not possible. So that is why it is like this. Tul bhaktistu kathara samradajari nirmarjanena swayam siddhyandi vimala prabhoda padavim akleshatastanyadi sadhya siddhigari jayadi aivibho swayvastu me tulpadaha prema praudira sadrada drudadaram. Devotee, one devotee pray to Krishna like this. Then sadhya siddhigari, if you have become pure, so therefore first thing to happen to get this taste for Srimad Bhagavatam is that purity inside. Inside is not pure, it's very clear, isn't it? Whereas right in the middle of Srimad Bhagavatam, somebody shows some nice movie or talks about football match or whatever it is, mind very quickly goes there without any problem. Why is that? The taste is that. What can you do? We have developed that taste for the sense enjoyment in different things. And because the taste for something different than Krishna consciousness, when we some Krishna consciousness is offered in its pure form, it has no taste. This is the reason when we read Srimad Bhagavatam or when we chant the holy name, we have to finish it up quickly. As because I have committed in front of the fire to the spiritual master, so I have to do it. What can I do? I made this mistake of committing. Had I thought about it, you know, I wouldn't have done this. That stage comes later. It comes. Why? Taste is somewhere else what to do. And then you are banging your head against the wall day in and day out to get up in the morning. All this without sufficient thoughts, I made a decision and now I am in trouble. So, tul bhaktistu kathara samradajari nirmarjanena swayam siddhyandi vimala prabhoda padavim akleshatastanvadi sadhya siddhigari jayadi aivibho saivastume tulpadaha prema praudirasadrada drudadaram. Prema praudirasadrada drudadaram. Devotees who have prayed to Krishna, that give me bhakti. That is what they pray to. Devotees pray to Krishna, give me bhakti. Because only if you have bhakti, you will experience that bliss. What is talked about. So, whereas they are praying for bhakti, we are praying for? If I can get through this life without too much trouble, if everything goes on in the family, happily, parents, grandparents, only my family, nobody else. My family should be okay. Everyone else, what happens, that's their karma, what I can do about it. That, see, this is us. And these are the people who are claiming pure devotees. So, prema praudirasadrada drudadaram. So therefore, when bhakti comes, it is a different business altogether. It is not the bhakti what we are talking about. Our bhakti is centered around all these things. Society, social life, friendship, love. And if everything is going very well, the job, the family life. If everything is very well, oh, my bhakti is also going very well. Our bhakti is very clear, very easy to define. Probably that's the only reason Sri Narada Maharshi had written Narada Bhakti Sutram. So that we don't get confused about bhakti. Because everyone start interpreting bhakti like this, so bhakti shastram becomes too big. Depending on the all our material needs and material desires, if getting fulfilled, that is bhakti. That means bhakti shastram will have so much literature to write about. Whereas Narada Maharshi compiled everything in such a way to clarify this point to us at that straight away, that bhakti has nothing to do with all that thing. Bhakti is something different than all these things. That's why he said there in that way. So you can see that everything pure devotees have spoken, if you look into their life, you will see that that is the bhakti they have spoken about. Isn't it? That's the bhakti they have spoken about. It's an absolute truth. There's nothing you can do about it. That is the way bhakti is. Whether it is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu spoke about bhakti, Mirabhai spoke about bhakti, or any other great devotees, whoever, Tukaram and so many others, all those great devotees, that was the bhakti they were talking about. Not this bhakti what we are chasing after. So there's a gulf of a difference. There's a big difference between bhakti what we are talking about. All around in bhakti, field of bhakti, there is unlimited devotees who have practiced this pure bhakti. Vaishnava tradition onwards, nine mass in the Shaiva tradition. And if you look into their history, you can see that they spoke about the same language after there, when they came to the platform of bhakti. All their language is the same. The language is the same. So, that bhakti comes, Krishna says here, that bhakti won't happen. Why? Because we got used to all these things. This begging business. We have been doing this so many lifetimes and this lifetime also. And a child who is addicted to chocolate and crisps, if you want him to eat properly, what does the mother do? Either starve him and give him food so that he will eat it, or if it's a small child, beat him, tell him to eat it. Mothers have to go through all these things with the children, isn't it? Because he got used to the crisps and chocolate and all other things. He won't eat the food, proper food, if it's offered, he won't eat it. So what does the mother do? Mother beat the child, make him eat, and not offer him any, or sometimes bribe him in some other form. So that mother knows very well that the child must eat the proper food and not the packaged junk from the shops. So deliberately they force the child to accept the proper food. So till that habit is lost, he won't find the taste for proper food. Rice, dal, sabji, all those things is very difficult for him. And then that becomes a tradition. Then when you go to office, what do you see there? Lunch packet is a packet of crisps, a chocolate, manager is eating one apple. They have no time to eat any lunch also. These three things is the main lunch. So it comes to that stage. Why does it happen? Because there's no taste for it anymore. Even if you offer them a proper meal, they can't eat it. That stage comes. And we have also reached the same state as far as Krishna consciousness is concerned. This is why Bhagavatam is so difficult. We read Bhagavatam and it says, oh, it doesn't make any sense, all these things. Because no taste, what can you do? So that's the same situation. So Krishna says here that the whole Srimad Bhagavatam, and it is equally true as far as chanting the holy name is concerned. It's the same problem. When we are struggling with 16 rounds, we can understand that there is no taste for chanting the holy name. That problem is such a big problem that holy name has been glorified by all the great devotees to such levels, and we are thinking, reading that, they're saying all these things, is this all true? If you look into the Shishtashtakam, the second verse.
Akari bahuda nijasarva shakti tatra arpida neyamida smaranena kalam.
Mahaprabhu is saying this. All the potency is invested in the holy name. And we are thinking, what is there in this holy name so much talking about? Namna magari bahudha nija sarva shakti tatra arpidaha niyamida smaranena kala edadrisham tava kripa bhagavan mamabi durdeiva midrishamiha janina anuragaha. Mahaprabhu is saying, what can I do? I have no attachment for holy name. So there must be something in the holy name Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is saying to us, Durdeva Midrisha Mahajanina Anuragaha. I have no attachment. That is what he is saying. As a devotee, he is saying like this to us. And we are saying, well, what is there so much to worry about this holy name chanting? Somehow you have to chant 16 rounds. And if you can do that, we have done, our target is done. And then the plane is coming for me to go back to the spiritual world. This is what I am waiting here for. Love for Krishna or no love for Krishna doesn't matter. That's all secondary. The primary thing is I have done my part. My part of the deal is over now. From his part, is he keeping the word or not? This is what we are waiting here for with our 16 rounds, isn't it? So that is why, if you look in the Shishtashtakam, you will see Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says about the holy name, isn't it? It is not something so simple as we make out of it. That 8 verses is more than enough to tell us what state one should chant, what happens when one chants, and what is the state of a person who is not experiencing the bliss of chanting the holy name. All that things are there. And he also says, how does that happen? Chedo darpanam arjanam. Bhava mahad avagni nirvapanam shreya kaidava chandriya vidaranam vidyavadhu jivanam. That verses, everybody knows that, isn't it? So you can see here that the problem is in us, not in the Bhagavadam, not in the holy name. It is inside us. Because we have this problem, we have this bad taste for all these things. Like the child has bad taste for the food, proper food. He has taste for all the packaged food from the shops. That's what he enjoys. He got used to it. That's all. It is not his fault. That's what was given over a period of time. He got used to it. And then as he grows further and further, he thinks that this is the best. That's the best. He is convinced on that and he will stick to it. He won't be able to give it up. It's a big challenge for him. Even after becoming a devotee, they will ask, is chocolate allowed? It's vegetarian. All you have to do is to check the ingredients if it's okay. E471 or E335, is it there or not? What does it mean? It means the taste hasn't gone. That's what it is. The taste is still in the chocolate, not in the prasadam. What can you do? Prasadam is a big sacrifice he is making to take. Chocolate with full heart inside. Isn't it? Is this the truth? Isn't it? Similarly, any novel we'll read very happily with heart's content. Srimad Bhagavatam, great difficulty to open inside, to look inside. Great problem. Why? There's no taste. That's the whole problem. So till that taste happens, there is something has to happen. It won't happen very easily, that taste. Taste happens after many, many lifetimes. The taste for Srimad Bhagavatam comes after so many lifetimes. Chanting the holy name, it comes so many lifetimes, it comes. That's why when Haridas Thakur chanted holy name, he had no problems chanting and he had no time to chant. And we have so much time that we find it so difficult to fill the time. And we say that this is the difference because there is no taste. Because there is no taste. So, in a situation like that, just like the mother does, what does the mother do? Mother forcefully make, because mother knows it's bad for the child. If she has to beat him, she'll beat him. And if she has to forcefully make the child to eat proper food. In the same way, Manikavajagar said to Shiva that, I had no interest in chanting your name at any time. And I was a complete materialist wandering around in this world. But what did you do to me? You beat me up so many times in different ways in this world. And you beat me and beat me and beat me, kept on beating me. Suddenly I started realizing I should chant your name. So till we get that beating, it won't happen. That's the message. That's the message. The beating has to happen. Otherwise, we'll keep on discussing, we'll talk about it, and we'll write thesis also, get a PhD, and teach others also how to do it. But it won't happen. That's the only difference. So that is why, if you look into, among the saints in Maharashtra, Namdev is known for this. Namdev was the personality, the name itself you can see, Namdev. He was very fond of propagating the holy name. And if you read the songs what he wrote about the holy name, you'll be amazed his realizations on the holy name. What he realized about the holy name. He mentions there that there is practically no difference between the Brahman, Supreme Brahman and the holy name, he says. Supreme Brahman and the holy name, there is no difference. It's one and the same. Absolute truth and the holy name, there is no difference. Namdev writes in his songs about it in that way. Then, the living entity, and he also says there, the soul and the holy name has no difference. The soul and the holy name has no difference. So many crores and crores of birds, the living entity has been wandering around in this universe without giving any attention to the holy name, without giving any attention to the holy name. And now, when he heard the holy name, he says here that I see that there is no difference between the absolute truth and the holy name. He is saying like this: absolute truth and the holy name. So much, such a degree of realization of chanting the holy name that he was able to say like that. So, many lifetimes this holy name is lying inside us, but somehow or the other the taste has not developed. It is like this, and so when the proper initiation happens to the holy name, and when we hear that holy name from inside, awakening comes to chant the holy name all the time. So what is that thing which is blocking the taste for chanting the holy name? As I mentioned before, it is what is known as Vishaya Vasana. Vishaya Vasana means desire for sense enjoyment. So in order that sense enjoyment, desire for sense enjoyment has to go, we have to experience distress in life. We have to experience distress in life. Actually, that is why if that happens, if distress comes in life, that Krishna forcefully puts us into that situation, into that distress, and that is Krishna's mercy. It has to be understood like that. That because we may say to Krishna, why give me all this distress? I've been chanting the holy name for so long. And when you chant the holy name for a long time, the mercy will come in the form of distress. And when the distress comes, when we misunderstand that the distress has been given only to convince us that Krishna is taking notice of it. One devotee said to Krishna, Kashta te srishti cheshta bahudara bhava khedaha jiva bhaja ityevam purvam alojitam ajitamaya naiva madhyabhijanim. That Kashta te srishti cheshta, he says to Krishna, why have you created all these living entities? What did you get from this? And all I am finding is, they are in terrible distress all the time. Isn't it? Kashtade srishti jashta. Srishti jashta means the cheshta. Cheshta means this activity of creation. Is very sad. Why did you create all these things? You create all this world, and you create all these living entities, and then you tell them that you suffer your karma. Go and suffer there. And never-ending samsaram, isn't it? And which is never ends also, goes on life after life. So why did you do this? So, bahudara bhava khedaha jiva bhajaha. That 8.4 million forms also he has given us. You can take whichever form you want and suffer. In whichever form you like to suffer, 8.4 million forms also you have created. And what did you get out of this? Ityevam purvamalojitam. I used to think like this before. The devotees told Krishna that I used to think like this before. Why you have done like this? What did you gain from this? But now I understand. No jail, if you have not done this. No jail, jiva kathamba. How will the jiva, conditioned soul, will know about you, about your glory? How will they know that if you have not done this? No jail jiva kathamva madhura dharamidam tvadvabhuschidra sardram netrai shrotrai shabitva paramarasa sudham bodhipure rameran. That when you have done this, I have started now realizing why you are giving distress to everybody. When you give distress to others, that is the point when you start actually turning away from sense gratification, from this world. World means nothing but sense gratification, isn't it? So, in order to take our attention away from this world and sense enjoyment, in different forms and different categories, there is something required, a heavy dose is required, and that is distress. When distress comes, it is Krishna's mercy is coming. Now you can see why Kundi Devi said to Krishna, വിപദ ശന്തുന സസ്വൽ തത്ര തത്ര ജഗൽ ഗുരോ ഭവദോ ദർശനം യസ്യാൽ അപുനർ ഭവദർശനം. Then you are giving me distress, keep on giving it to me. Why? Tatra tatra jagal guru, O spiritual master of the whole creation, bhavado darshanam yasyal. If I see you, because every time a distress comes, my mind goes to you. It doesn't go anywhere else. Apunarar bhavadarshanam. When that happened, bhavadarshanam, there is no more another birth again, will not happen to me. So this understanding all the great devotees had. We misunderstood bhakti, we also misunderstood all the sufferings of this world. Another misunderstanding. Bhakti we have already misunderstood. We took that all our material satisfaction, material desires getting fulfilled is considered as bhakti. That is first misunderstanding. Secondly, when distress is coming in life, we start thinking, is Krishna against us? Or Krishna is trying to take some revenge upon me? That will happen when sometimes when situation is very critical, you get very sick, body cannot move, and suddenly all your plans are turned upside down in this world. Otherwise you had a 5-year plan to grow every year, so much percentage, or whatever like the countries do, the government does, talks about. So same thing, all big plans you had, so many big plans for retirement, going on so many cruises, whatever that is, in your mind. All that is gone, shattered one day. Everything gone. Wealth is gone. Health is gone. Family all collapsed. Everything, family life is over. Everything is finished. And then you are left there. And then you are saying to yourself that what's the point in me chanting Hare Krishna? That is the point in chanting Hare Krishna. That's where the mercy is coming. Krishna has put us in that situation that it will not go out again looking for sense gratification. So you can see why bhakti and distress goes hand by hand. Every devotee, you can take it. Any devotee, you look into their history, you will see that this was the key factor. Even now, when we are discussing this song, what we have read it today, this song from the, what we read, Damodara Ashtakam. Do you see that verse is there? One of the verses says that, yes, he says here, Namo Deva Damodar Ananda Vishnu Prasida Prabho Dukkha Jalabdi Magnam. Dukkha Jalabdi Magnam. That I am suffering, he says. We are not even suffering, that's the problem. Namo Deva Damodar Ananda Vishnu Prasida Prabho Dukkha Jalabdi Magnam Kripa Drishti Vrishti Adi Dinam Vedanu Grihane Shamam Yame Dyakshi Drishyaha. Then, so devotees have recognized in the Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, everywhere you will find this. The beginning of bhakti is with the distress. In the Bhagavad Gita, if you look, you will see Krishna says, Artho Jityasu Artharti Jnani. Out of this 4 category, Krishna talks about, the first category is the majority. 95% is the Artha. Artha means one who is suffering. One who is crying in this world, who has come to, who is crying because everything has collapsed in this world. Family life has collapsed, children are not listening, husband is not listening, wife is not listening, all relationships are broken down, health is gone, plus all the money also gone. So everything has gone, there's nothing left in this life to live for. When that situation comes, Krishna says he will surrender. He will come to me looking for some help. So that is Artha. So Artha, you can see Krishna is given as the number 1 in the 4 list. Artha, Jityasu, Artharti, Jnani. Out of the 4, the first one is Artha. Why? Because they are the majority. They are the majority. But people will say, oh no, I was looking for the absolute truth. That's why I started reading Bhagavad Gita. Majority of the people will say this, that they were looking for the absolute truth. Yeah. Absolute truth is like, comes like this in the form of this distress. So it is from there. There is nothing wrong in that because that is the way it is. That's how it happens. Till that happens, we will inquire looking for sense gratification in this world. That's all what we want. And it is no point in denying it. That's what we are looking for. So, unless it is done forcefully, that taste for sense enjoyment won't go from inside. Unless it is done forcefully on us. That is why Manikmaya said, you beat me and beat me and beat me to such an extent that I was forced to surrender and take to it. And when what happens is, Krishna says here, then this process works much faster and much more stronger than chanting 16 rounds a day, doing deity worship or all kinds of sadhana. It's more powerful than that. What you would have achieved through, what you would have achieved in your spiritual life, in several lifetimes through different sadhanas, what you can achieve from that much faster and much more powerful is distress coming and attacking us in life. And then we turn to Krishna consciousness. Because this will stay, that may not stay. That one, what you have acquired through sadhana, what you have acquired through all other processes, that will come and that will go. It is difficult for that to stay longer. Why? Because just like Vishayavasana, taste won't go. It is only done in a way that you have tried to develop something side by side with sense gratification. Whereas first thing, the sense gratification has to go. This attachment for sense enjoyment has to go. When the sense enjoyment attachment goes away, then when distress comes and sense enjoyment desire for goes away, one hates sense enjoyment, at that time proper bhakti comes inside. So that's why it is said like that. And therefore, so same thing with the holy name. Same thing with the holy name. That is why in Ajamila's case you can see here, there, very clearly this thing. Ajamila was not chanting 16 rounds, you must remember that, isn't it? In fact, in one instance, Ajamila chanted the holy name once. Okay, Ajamila chanted the holy name, why? He has practiced a spiritual life in the past. And then distress came to him. How did the distress come? Distress happened like this. Ajamila come from a very good background, isn't it? He had a born in a Brahmana family, had the best of the training, what one could expect. And parents were first class devotees. And he was sent to the forest to collect the darbha grass for the parents for their spiritual activities. And suddenly, he came into contact. His sense enjoyment desire, which was very hidden inside, desire came out when the opportunity became very favorable, isn't it? So he fell down at that point. He tried very hard to stop it, not to allow it to control the mind. He tried very hard. It says in the Bhagavatam, he tried so hard. He thought when he saw that, it is very bad to look at it, first of all, what was happening between that prostitute and that person who was associating with her. They were both drunk and they were talking all nonsense and acting in a way which was even forbidden to look at. So Ajamila did not even want to look at it. But suddenly it happened. That slight vasana inside what was there from a previous action or previous activity, which was very small one inside, made him to look in that direction. See how fine the control is inside from vasana side, how it controls us. He looked and then he felt immediately it is wrong thing to do, but he couldn't stop it. He couldn't stop it. He went after them. And that's the fall down. So fall down happened in that way. And Ajamila, then what happened, you know, in the Bhagavadam, all connection with the family home was broken, took away all the wealth from home and handed over to this prostitute. The life at home, in the home, became very difficult with keeping this relationship with the prostitute and living in the family, with the family. So eventually one day all the jewelry from the wife's neck also taken out and handed over to the prostitute. And he left home, left the parents, left the wife who was very devoted and loyal to him. And he did not have any difficulty in leaving them and going away to the forest. After several years, after this association with the prostitute, children were born from her. And Ajamila lived in the forest with her. And it was then that many children were born. Ajamila became 88 years old. Ashtashiti Tama, it says in the Bhagavatam. He became 88 years old and he had this child from from this woman. And somehow or the other, by Krishna's kripa or mercy alone, he felt like giving that child the name Narayana. Isn't it?
Vasana Balal Juhava Narayana Namakam Sutam.
That is how it is said. Only what prompted him to give that name to the child? That's an interesting question, isn't it? You could have given any other name to him. There are so many, you could have looked into our names list, isn't it? And picked one what he wanted. He didn't do that. He says they gave him, and it says like this, Vasana Balal Juhava. Vasana Balal, inside that, Vasana inside, because of all the Krishna consciousness he has done before, that was also there inside, simultaneously with this Durvasana. Sadvasana and Durvasana, bad Vasana and good Vasana, both were there inside. But somehow or the other, that good Vasana inside, that good propensity inside, made him to give this name to his son. Which one? Narayana. Gave to his son.
Vasana Balal Juhava Narayana Namagam Sudam.
His own son, he gave him this name, Narayana. And then what happened? After several years, Ajamila fell sick. Ajamila fell so sick and he is lying in the deathbed. He's lying in the deathbed. When he's lying in the deathbed, suddenly they appeared. Who? The Yamadutas. They appeared. They have to come for Ajamila. They may not come for us. We don't know. But they come or not, that you will see when you go. Nobody can say in advance. But Ajamila's case, they had to come. The reason was this. Then Ajamila was given an opportunity to perfect his life. A birth, a training, and the proper facility. Everything was offered. In spite of that, he has abused that. He has abused that, isn't it? So, naturally, that needs punishment. That's why it's mentioned. So, therefore, Yama's agents came, Yamadudas came, and at that time, he called his eighth child, who was standing, playing around outside, in the ground. He called Narayana, Narayana, he calls. He called him Narayana to come. So, he didn't even call Krishna. He called the child, and at that time, the Vishnududas appeared. You can read that in the Srimad Bhagavatam. And then there is a discussion between Vishnududas and Yamadudas. It's a whole Ajamila story. We won't go into that now. What we want to say here is that Ajamila, at that point, you have to look at Ajamila's mind, how it's working in the Bhagavatam. When the Vishnududas came and that had discussion with Yamaduda, and after that Vishnududas left, Yamadudas also left. And then there is a confession from Ajamila in the Bhagavatam. You can read that person's mind at that time, what happened. Ajamila is saying, what have I not done sinful in this my life? I was given everything by Krishna's arrangement, but still I have completely squandered the whole thing, my life, wasted all my life. My parents were very old, who needed attention, I completely rejected them. My wife, who was loyal to me and served me loyally all the time and helped me in my spiritual activities all the time, I completely ignored her and left her to herself. And he started thinking, what would have happened to my parents? Would they be begging for food? They were old people. And they could be wandering around somewhere looking for some shelter. And me, who was supposed to look after them at that age, I had completely left them and came after this prostitute. In this way, thoughts started happening. And he feeling so guilty about all what he has done to the parents, to the wife and everyone, he started realizing, this punishment is not sufficient for me. I should be punished much more than this, because I deserve it. So when Ajamila came to that stage, he walked out from there. He didn't stay in that forest anymore. And he started thinking, this is all the way from Kanyakubjam to Haridwar. The travel is from Kanyakubjam is Kanpur today. From Kanpur to Haridwar he is traveling, walking there. So when he left Kanpur and he's on his way to Haridwar, this is the thoughts he's going through. What was that thought? He is thinking that if I did not even call Krishna, I just called my son Narayana and they had come and given me protection. If it is like that, if I seriously and genuinely sit somewhere and call Krishna, will he not take care of me? You have to imagine this, that purity inside the heart to accept this and to realize this. That is why in Haridwar, when he sat down, he had to only chant once the name Narayana. He only chanted once and immediately he was taken back to the spiritual world. Why? Because of the purity inside. That was the reason behind it. The purity inside was such, no more desires for material life in this world. All attachments, asakti, everything is over. And the only thing he realized was that if there is anyone to be taken shelter, it is Krishna. So in that way, he surrenders to Krishna. So in other words, he is chanting that holy name in that state of consciousness, in that purity, was the reason that Sadya Siddhigari Jayadi Aivibho Saivastu Me Twalpada Prema Praudi Rasardrada Drudataram. That very quickly it happens if the purity has happened inside. So without purity, when we chant the holy name, it is a long haul. But when the purity happens, either due to distress what Krishna has given us, our attention for sense enjoyment and sense gratification goes away from inside, and the mind completely turns to Krishna, and then time when we chant the holy name, you will see the result coming in a different way. That is why it's mentioned there. So just like the children were beaten up and forced to eat, Krishna also has to do the same thing with us. Otherwise we won't take it. And that is why distress is given. Distress is given. Not that Krishna is squaring up some revenge with us. We have done something to him in the past, and so therefore he wants to... Now we are in a weak situation, so let me take the revenge. It's not in that mood given. We should not misunderstand that. So then what happens? He'll go and stand in front of Krishna and says to Krishna, why have you done this to me? So that's why Krishna is smiling at us. I've done something good to you and you're coming back and telling me why you've done this to me. That's what that smile means. That smile has got a lot of meaning, Krishna's smile. So when Krishna smiles, Krishna smiles like that, it has to be understood that the smile behind that is this. That somehow or the other, I have decided to get you back. You have left me and gone away long ago in your pursuit for sense gratification. And so many lifetimes, not one lifetime, millions and millions of lifetimes, you have been wandering around in one body to another body and kept on trying to enjoy this body, that body. Everything failed at the end. But at the end, out of some mercy, some kripa, or that I felt that I can accept you, and I, in order to get you to turn your attention towards me, I gave you this distress. And when I give you this distress, again your tendency is to go away from me. That is what Krishna is saying there, that we have no taste. So this experience through distress, what once happens, that tapasya is a lot more powerful than what you would achieve through your sadhana or through anything else in this world. That is why distress is a must in this life or spiritual life. So as soon as you hear that, you will say, well, now it's the time to make the decision whether to continue in spiritual life or not. Isn't it? That's what most of the mind will go like that. That's why I said, in the Kali Yuga particularly, in this age, unlike in all the other yugam, this distress is the most prominent factor in life. Everyone is in distress. Isn't it? Just to get some food is suffering. Whole day and night working to get some food in this world. And Supreme Personality who has created all this, we wonder, could he not have given us some food also free? And there we have to beg, there we have to work so much. So this is the age of distress. All other age is not so distressful. You can see from the Shastram what they talk about. Dwapara Yugam, Treta Yugam, Satya Yugam, people had much more peaceful state of existence, isn't it? A much more peaceful state of existence. Satyugam was perfect in the sense that they had no desires, first thing. No desire at all. The only desire was self-realization. The only desire was self-realization. That is Satyugam. When he came to Tridayugam, little bit changed. Started realizing that we have to perform sacrifices. Sacrifices started in Tridayugam. And with that, our little bit of bodily concept of life also. When little bit of bodily concept of life came, what happened was, in Tridayugam, we started giving attention to our body. In Satyugam, people didn't give attention to the body at all. Body was existing. They knew that it is not me, so why should I bother about the body? Whereas Tridayugam came, we started looking at our own body. Am I looking a little bit good, beautiful? This way of thinking started in Tridayugam. So that is why in Tridayugam, there was a this bodily attachment increased. Accordingly, the desire for accumulation also started a little bit. And when he came to Dwapara Yugam, the attachment for the body has grown a lot stronger. And at the same time, the enjoyment propensities also increased. And by the time we reach the Kali Yugam, we only have one thing left, propensity to enjoy the body, nothing else, no desire for self-realization. So from Satya Yugam to Kali Yugam, you can see how that changes have happened in our outlook, our way of thinking, and everything has completely changed. So by the time Kali Yugam came, we became so absorbed in the body, and with the result was that everything related to body also has become very important, isn't it? All this industry related to dressing has become very important, how one should be properly dressed, and one whole industry centered around the clothes. Another whole industry centered around the perfumes and to beautification of the body. And another whole industry centered around the shape of the body, to get the body in the right shape. The gym and all other, swim and gym and all whatever things are and centered on. So many things, all for the body, nothing for the soul. So this is the Kali Yugam. And in this Kali Yugam, because it is like that, and the maximum distress also along with all these things, people have to live through. That distress is a part of this Kali Yugam. And therefore, Kali Yugam, that distress is in the form because of sense enjoyment, sense gratification. So in order to get us out of this sense gratification, the only remedy is distress. Only remedy is distress. All other things, processes won't work in this age. Kali Yugam people are the most distressed in this all ever. People in the Kali Yugam are the most distressed people also. Everyone is sick with something or the other. Everyone's house, if you go, you will see a separate file for NHS. Everyone, all the appointments properly earmarked. Whole family history will be there with the NHS, which hospitals he has to go, what time, when, where, and all that. All the consultants' name, doctor's name, medicines what he has taken. And everyone is carrying some medicine or the other in their bag for emergencies, in some tablets, all this is part of Kali Yugam. People never live like this. This is Kali Yugam's beauty. We'll be walking around with a complete pharmacy will be with you, moving around everywhere. What can you do? So, Krishna has given us this situation. Why? Sadya siddhigari jayadiyai vibho saivastume tulpadaha. Then somehow or the other, that distress will turn us. Is this life, is it worthwhile living like this? What is the point in having this material body in this state? And we will give a quoting to it, saying that, oh no, it's not too bad after all. With all these things, it's not too bad. That's what we say about that. So that is why, if then all that vasanas inside, if the vasanas are so strong inside, if that vasana has to go, dukkham, distress has to come. If you get distressed very much, this vasana immediately gets wiped out from inside. It will never pop up again. Another opportunity to enjoy will not happen. So it is that's why I say here, in that state when you chant, then you can see the result also from Ajamila's case. Ajamila chanted once. Why? Because of that distress inside, what he has done in his life. It has really hit him so hard that he realized it, that what has happened to him. So the purity inside, Krishna's mercy came, although he had to go through that experience with the prostitute and everything. Still, in spite of that, Krishna took him back. So now you can see that how many times we have chanted, but the background behind that, how Ajamila chanted the holy name and how we chant the holy name is different. How we chant the holy name is different. So therefore, so in order to have bhakti in that way, that is where bhakti sadhanas come. Bhakti sadhanas comes there at this stage. That when our state of consciousness or distress has gone in enough, that inside we are pure enough to accept the principle of sadhana properly, at that time sadhana will work. At that time sadhana will work. Otherwise sadhana will go on like this. Padando namani pramada bharasindo nivadidaha smarando rupam te varada kathayando gunakathaha charando ye bhaktva stvai khalu ramande amum paramamamu aham dhanyan manye samadhigadan sarvabhilashidan. Padando namani. When one has reached that state and when he is chanting the holy name, what will happen? Pramada bharasindo nibaditaha. He immediately feels he has fallen into the ocean of bliss by chanting the holy name. Why? Because inside that distress has gone so deep and there is no more desire for sense enjoyment in any form. No desires inside. All desires have gone away from inside because of the distress that has created inside. Padando namani pramada bharasindo nibaditaha. Pramada bharasindo nibaditaha. He has fallen into the ocean of bliss of the spiritual realization which has happened through the chanting this holy name at that stage. At that stage. Smarando rupam te varada kathayando gunakathaha. At that time what else will happen? Smarando rupam. That he will remember Krishna without any effort. Up to that time you have to forcefully remember the form. But when you start chanting the holy name in that state of distress, what will happen is smarando rupam. That Krishna's form won't leave you. It will stay inside. Rupam te varadaha kathayando gunakathaha. Then all he has got to speak in this world, there is only one thing. What is that? Gunakathaha. Only the katha about Krishna and Krishna's qualities. Nothing else to talk about in this world for him in that state of realization. You see, if you look into the 9 processes of bhakti, shravanam, kirtanam, vishnor smaranam, padasevanam, archanam, vandanam, dasyam, sakhyam, alpanivedanam. Out of these 9 processes, they are categorized into groups. If you look into the first 3, they work together. Shravanam, kirtanam, vishnor smaranam. How is that? First thing is you hear. You hear about Krishna. Hear so much that you feel like not keeping quiet. You want to talk what you have heard. That is when you start moving from shravanam to kirtanam. Kirtanam means glorification. Kirtanam doesn't mean only singing bhajans. That's a misunderstanding. Kirtanam includes Srimad Bhagavatam, speaking from Srimad Bhagavatam, singing the glories of Krishna through bhajans, chanting the holy name, that's all kirtanam. Nothing, it's all covered in the kirtanam, the sphere of kirtanam. So, shravanam turns into kirtanam. That is how it happens. Shravanam turns into kirtanam. So, if you have heard enough, at some point in time, it will turn into kirtanam. At some point it has to happen. You can't keep quiet anymore. You have to talk to others about what you have heard. That is the stage when shravanam to kirtanam comes. After you had shravanam and kirtanam has happened for a long period of time, without any effort, smaranam will come. You don't have to work for it. People are thinking, should I do all the 9 or should I do 1 only? They will ask this question as though it is something in your control. Nothing is in your control. You have misunderstood everything. You are thinking that it is something like college course I have to do. That one semester for each one. I'll put it like that. In 9 semesters, I finished the course, got my certificate. That's not how it works. It works in a different way. Spiritual life works in a completely different way. Shravanam, kirtanam, smaranam. Due to shravanam, kirtanam comes. Due to shravanam and kirtanam, smaranam happens. You can't avoid it. It will happen. Anytime when you sit quiet, smaranam will come. You cannot avoid it. That is why shravanam, kirtanam, vishnor, smaranam, All three things goes one to another. Equal to, they are connected to each other. They are connected to each other. You can't separate them out. If you have heard, if you had enough Shravanam, it will turn into Kirtanam. If you had enough Shravanam and Kirtanam, it will end up in Smaranam. That is how Smaranam happens. So Smaranam is that process. Prahlada is saying this. Smaranam is that process which comes from Shravanam and Kirtanam. Shravanam and Kirtanam. Similarly, if you look back to the rest of it, Archanam Vandanam Dasyam Sakhyam. They are together. One who has come to this stage, if he is also engaged in Archanam, Vandanam, Dasyam, which you know what that means, isn't it? Archanam is engaging in the deity worship. Vandanam, paying your obeisances to Krishna all the time. All with proper understanding. Not with the that you have done now so much Vandanam, so where is the result? You can't ask like that. You have to think like this. Archanam, Vandanam, Dasyam. Dasyam means servitude to Krishna, servant, Krishna's servant. If all these things happens, what will happen is Sakhyam. Sakhyam will come. If you look into Uddhava and Krishna's relationship, you will see there. At one point, Krishna says to Uddhava, Tonme priya brithya suhril sakaha. Tonme priya brithya suhril sakaha. In other words, what all they say? You are dear to me, priya. You are my servant. You are my servant. Dasyam, he has done that. Priyam has happened because of that. Priyam was there, so he was his servant. So, Tonme Priya Bhrityam. And then he became Suhrat. Suhrat means close friend, isn't it? Priya Bhrtya Suhrat. And then what happens the next one? Sakha. Sakha means always together with him. So, it didn't happen in a Uddhava was not following in a way like we do. Uddhava was doing it. But at the same time, this was happening. Tanme Bhritya Priyat Suhat Sakha. Krishna says to Arjuna, Uddhava, like this. So that Sakha state has happened after going through all these other states. He has come to that state. So Archanam Vandanam Dasyam has turned into Sakhyam at one stage. Shravanam Kirtanam has turned into Smaranam, another state. Now, the last one, Atmanivedanam, that is not in any of our control. Atmanivedanam, you cannot do anything about it. When a person has gone through all these stages, he has to wait. He has to wait. He cannot do that thing. Atmanivedanam, you cannot do. Atmanivedanam, like Krishna has to do that, not us. It's Krishna who has to do that, Atmanivedanam. What did, like he did with Mahabali. He forced you, one day he'll come and swallow you. And finished all your... spiritual life is over with that. With that, the Atmanivedanam has happened. So that is the reason why it's mentioned like this.
Padando namani pramada bharasindo nibaditaha smarando rupam te varadha kadhayando gunakathaha charando ye bhaktva stoi ghaluramande.
A devotee who has chanted the holy name like this, Padando Namani, and is always absorbed in the bliss of the holy name,
Pramada Parasindho Nibaditaha,
that he is so absorbed in the blissful existence of the chanting the holy name,
Pramada Parasindho Nibaditaha,
simultaneously Smarando Rupamte, that constantly Krishna is remembered inside. He is not able to take Krishna out. He is so constantly inside his thoughts. Krishna is there all the time.
Smarando rubam te varada kathayando gunakathaha.
That he has only one thing to say to this world about Krishna, nothing else. There is no other topic in his discussions. In his discussions. We have a lot of topics to cover, isn't it? Our topics are unlimited topics we have got. And as though it's not sufficient, we have got added to it more things. At different times. So a devotee in the discussed in the Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam is these type of devotees who have reached that stage.
Smarando rupam te varada kathayando gunakathaha.
Gunakatha, they have only one thing to say about Krishna's transcendental pastimes and activities. Then what do they do?
Charando ye bhaktva stoi galu ramande.
They are moving in this world വിതൗട്ട് എ കെയർ ഫോർ എനിത്തിങ് എൽസ്. ദാറ്റ്സ് ഓൾ ദേ വോണ്ട്. സ്തുതി ഖലു രമന്തേ പരമമോ. ദേ വോണ്ട് ടു ബി അബ്സോർബ്ഡ് ഇൻ കൃഷ്ണ ഓൾ ദ ടൈം and want to pass their time in this world, from this world, and escape from here. Charando ye bhaktostvai kaluramande paramamamu aham dhanyan manye samadigatan sarvabhilashidan. Such a devotee, this devotee saying to Krishna, such a person I consider as the most fortunate person in this world who has reached that state of Krishna consciousness. So, you can see that the state of bhakti, what is discussed in the Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhakti Sutram, and activities of the great devotees in the bhakti tradition, they have all had to say to us only one thing: when distress comes, don't complain. If you start thinking that I have wasted my chanting the holy name, much more when by chanting the holy name, when you are having, the progress is so slow in spiritual life, it's only due to out of Krishna's causeless mercy that He wants you to accelerate your progress in spiritual life, He gives you this dose of distress. Because we have misunderstood everything about bhakti process, isn't it? We understood, if I practice bhakti, material life will go very well. And if I make a lot of money and get the job what I want, my family life goes well, everything is fantastic, my bhakti is very good. If I have misinterpreted, what can Krishna do about it? This is not the bhakti what the great devotees, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, or any of the great souls who have talked to us about bhakti, they wanted us to see bhakti in this way. In this way, that is how they presented bhakti to us. And we gave an interpretation to that bhakti in our way. And that's what we are pursuing. Charandoye bhaktvastvai ghalurmande param amum aham dhanyanmani samadigadan sarva bilashidan gadaklishtam kashtam. Then the devotee is saying to Krishna, gadaklishtam kashtam tava charana sevarasa bharevi anasaktam chittam bhavadivada vishno kurudayam. Then In spite of all these distress has come to me, all these bhakti sadhana I have been trained, in spite of that, I have no attachment for you. That's why devotee is saying, gada klishtam kashtam, how sad it is, tava charana seva rasa bharevi, I have no desire to serve you. Anasaktam chittam, mind has no attachment towards you. Bhavadivada Vishnu Kurudayam. It is at that point, devotee, when you will execute all sadhana in your life, when you have gone through all the distress experienced in this world, and then still you have no attachment for Krishna. It is at that time, devotee prays to Krishna, give me bhakti. Just imagine the profound position of bhakti. And we made it a very simple thing, this bhakti, isn't it? But bhakti is not a cheap thing. Bhakti's position is so high that after we have done all the sadhana what you were told, 16 rounds, 4 regulatory principles, and all parikramas, all the, harinams, everything you have done in this world, whatever you were told, you have done all that. After doing all that, simultaneously you got a lot of distress also. And all that distress came, you got shaken by that. Did I waste all my time doing all these things? The thought came up to your mind. And a devotee is that person, after all this has happened, he says to Krishna, where am I now? Where do I stand now? What has happened to me? Why have I not got any attachment for you? When the devotee is asking that question, he asks for bhakti. That is asking for bhakti. So, bhakti is not a simple thing. That's why I say, gadaklishtam kashtam tava charana seva rasa bharevi anasaktam chittam bhavadivada vishno kurudayam bhavalpadam bhoja smarana nivaha nama nivahani aham gayam gayam kuhachana vivalsyami vijane. by now, because he has experienced all this distress in this life, and because he has understood the meaningless situation of this world, he just wanted to go from here. And while leaving, he says to Krishna, all I want to remember is two things, the holy name and your lotus feet. Nothing else. I don't want anything else. Once a devotee told Ramachandra like this, Lord Ramachandra was there with him. So he says to Ramachandra that if you want to disappear from here, disappear. I don't care. I'm not bothered about it. He said, as long as I have your holy name and and your form in my mind, I'm not bothered about it. This was the devotee saying to Ramachandra. So he says here, continuously singing your holy name. Alone I can move in this world till this body drops away. That is the devotee's strength. Only a devotee can say that. Till I drop this body, I'll move in this world with this, the holy name on my lips. I can wander around in this world. Like Narada Maharshi said that, isn't it? In the first canto, you know what Narada Maharshi said to Narada Maharshi said that I will live. Arabdhan karma naruvanam nyabadal panchabhautikaha. He says that this panchabhautikam is another name for the material body. When this panchabhautikam drops away, then I'll go. When the prarabdham is finished, panchabhautika body will drop and I'll go from here. This is the strength of a devotee. A devotee only can speak that because he knows that his destination is, he knows where he is going and he knows what is the purpose of this life. So this you can see in many, many great devotees. One sannyasi who lived a long time, 85, 87 years old. So he became very famous through Srimad Bhagavatam. A great devotee he was. Understood Srimad Bhagavatam and lived through that life for the rest of his life for many, many years. So somebody like us went up to him and told him, I would like to write a, what do you call, autobiography, isn't it? Autobiography of your autobiography, he says. He smiled and he told him, what is this autobiography, he says, which you want to write about? My name is Govinda, he says. I was given this name. Wandered around this all this world. And now I'm lying down in the middle of these five material elements. That's my autobiography. You can write it, whatever you want, he said. That's how they see it. Once your attachment to the body has gone, and we have understood that this five material elements is not me, nor the mind, nor the intelligence, nor the ego, and you have understood Srimad Bhagavatam is talking about, where is the question of biography and autobiography? What meaning has it got? So he could say this to him, very bluntly he put it to him, here I am, Govinda, lying in the middle of these five material elements, waiting to get out of this. That was the autobiography, biography, whatever you want to write, he said, you can write it. He said, so that is how it is. So, coming back to this, Krishna says here, that sadyas siddhigari jaityai vibho saivastumi tulpada prema praudirasadrada drudadaram. So, drudadaram, it happens like this, so quickly. That a devotee's time is like this when he is absorbed in Krishna. When he is making that progress in the path of bhakti, you can see he gets isolated in this world. There will be nobody there to give any hand. He has to go on his own. That is why you will see there in all great devotees' case, they were alone. At the end, they are all alone. There's nobody there. Because for them, the truth has been understood. They have seen the truth. That is why in Bhagavad Gita it says like that, isn't it? That that the purpose of all these things, you can. That is why in the Bhagavad Gita you also see that verse which refers to surrender, sarvadharman parityajyam, is kept at the very end of Bhagavad Gita. Why? Because it's only possible at that stage that to happen. And Atmanivedanam, was coming back to these nine processes. Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnor, Smaranam goes together. Archanam, Vandanam, Dasyam will eventually end up in Sakhyam. Sakhyam. Atmanivedanam stands on its own. Atmanivedanam stands on its own. Why? This Atmanivedanam among these nine processes is considered as Angi. One is, all the other eight are called Angam and the other one is Angi. Why it's called Angi means that it cannot be done by you. It has to be done by Krishna. In other words, at some point when Krishna feels the need to take you back, he will pull you out from here. And he will make you surrender whether you like it or not. Otherwise, we are not people who are going to surrender easily. That Krishna knows very well. That we won't make any surrender. We will talk about surrender. And falsely we may tell others also I have surrendered. But real surrender is not going to happen. That is why this Atmanivedanam is in Krishna's hands. Not in our hands. It is completely in Krishna's hands. When Krishna decides that this devotee can come, can go back to the spiritual world, Krishna makes a decision and forces that person to surrender. Throughout Bhagavatam, throughout the tradition of bhakti, you will see every great devotee who were recognized as devotees, they all had to come to go through this state. They were forced to surrender. So this is why in the Bhagavatam, if you look into, you will see there, Vritrasura says the same thing. Ambarish Maharaj says the same thing. Their language is the same. Maybe the words will be different in the verses. But the language they have spoken is exactly the same. That somehow or other, that some devotees who were attached to Shravanam Kirtanam, they went through that route of Smaranam. Some other devotees, they went through the Archanam, Vandanam, Dasyam and became Sakha and went that way. But Atmanivedanam, which has happened to few, like Uttaradevi, Draupadi, Gajendra, Ambarish, and they are all examples of Atmanivedanam, perfect examples, Mahabali also. They all happened when Krishna took the initiative from his side, not from the devotee's side. Devotees didn't do anything. Krishna took the initiative to make them surrender, and they surrendered. And that is in those cases where Krishna had to go and see them. Bhishma was a particular personality in this. He wouldn't surrender to anybody. He was such a powerful person that Bhishma, and the word itself is Bhishma, isn't it? Bhishma's personality was such, a kshatriya by nature, very difficult to surrender to anyone, wanted to control everything all the time. Throughout Bhishma's life, if you look, you will see that he wanted to control everything. And so powerful a personality that for the sake of father took up this vow not to get married, Bhishma Pratijna it's called. And Ambambi Ambaliya, he forcefully gone and brought them from the king of Kashi's family palace. So many things he did. And he had big plans, somehow or the other I will rule this kingdom through others. Satyavati told Bhishma to manage. So through them Dhritarashtra was born, Pandu was born. He told he will manage with Dhritarashtra and Pandu. And if you see there, you'll see the funniest thing what happened with Bhishma was, Bhishma was using all these people to keep the Hastinapur going, kingdom going. So everywhere it was failing at the end. All things failed. And eventually this unwanted progeny, Duryodhana, came up in the family. He came up and he changed the whole scenario. And Bhishma didn't know what to do. Everything failed. All plans are failing one after the other. So at that time, Krishna smiled, seeing Bhishma's determination, still to go ahead with it. And so Krishna decided, at least will Bhishma say something about himself, at least at the time of leaving this body. Up to that time, Bhishma was in complete control. That is why in the Bhagavatam, if you read Bhishma Stuti, you will see there, Krishna decided to come and see Bhishma at the time of leaving the body. It's a rare honor given to anyone. Normally we all go to temple to see Krishna. Here Krishna is going to see the devotee at the time of leaving the body. So that itself is a very high recognition. Doesn't matter. But when he got there, Krishna kept quiet and wanted Bhishma to speak. Krishna had nothing to say. He wanted Bhishma to speak. Bhishma sensed the mood very well. In the Bhishma Stuti, if you look, you will see Bhishma's mood at that time. Bhishma understood that Krishna had come to hear from me, not that I have to hear from Krishna. That is why Bhishma Stuti is so famous. He spoke three things, important things there. He says to Yudhishthira and to Pandavas, although I lived in this world same time as Krishna was here, I never understood this personality, he says. I never understood this personality. I was always thinking that you people, Pandavas, you have stuck to the law of dharma very strictly. You are so vipra dharma achyuta ashrayaha. Bhagavatam says like this. You are very respectful to all the brahmanas. You followed the path of dharma. And you have also taken shelter of achyuta Krishna. Complete shelter of them, achyuta ashrayaha. Why did this happen to you? This was disturbing Bhishma's mind. Bhishma was asking this question. Why did this happen to you? That this whole family had to be destroyed like this. You had to fight this major war against the Kauravas. And so much destruction. Nobody gained that war. Nobody won that war. Strictly speaking, who won? Everyone has become completely lost, isn't it? So, he says here, Vipra, Dharma, Achyuta, Ashrayaha. That they were all, you've done all these things, but still why did this happen? And then Bhishma says, himself gives the answer. Sarvam kalakritam manye. Everything is controlled by kalam, the time. And that kalam personified is standing there right in front of us. Here, pointing out to Krishna is saying this. It is only then Yudhishthira started looking at Krishna. Up to that point, he was very concerned about what Bhishma has to say. In the palace, Krishna spoke to Yudhishthira a lot of things. He didn't care anything. So, even Bhagavad Gita, he spoke Bhagavad Gita second time to Yudhishthira, what he has spoken to Arjuna. And in spite of that, Yudhishthira won't change. No change at all in Yudhishthira. If you read the first canto, you will see all these things. And he comes here, and then when Bhishma said this, then Yudhishthira started thinking, Krishna has spoken. Krishna is the person behind all these things. Sarvam kalakritam manye. Everything is happening under the control of time. And who is that time? Time is standing there in the personified form. So, when all these things happen, Bhishma surrenders at that point. Then he says the famous prayers in the Bhagavatam. Three times I have noted this in my life, he says. Three occasions. First time I saw this in Krishna's life, that Yogeshwaryam, the yoga state of Krishna. What is that yoga state? With the Indira rasa dance, I saw this in Krishna's special feature of that rasa dance, how that Supreme Personality has shown his power there in the rasa dance, what he saw there. And Bhishma is remembering these things. Three things he remembered there. First was this rasa dance. Secondly, he says, I saw in the Rajasuyam sacrifice what happened with Shishubala, that when Shishubala kept on abusing him, 100 times he abused, only 101st time he didn't waste and sent Shishubala, now it's time you come back to spiritual world, sent him back. At that time I understood who Krishna is, he says. I understood when he performed the rasa dance who Krishna is. Now I have understood in the Rajasuyam sacrifice who Krishna is. And thirdly he says in the battle of Kurukshetra, the Kurukshetra battle, what happened? Where? That I more or less finished Arjuna there. Bhishma is saying this. This Arjuna is nothing for me, he says. If I just use my fingers, thumb, it is sufficient. I can finish up Arjuna there. And Arjuna would have gone from this world. And not only that, I left Arjuna. Arjuna was not important for me. I wanted to deal with Krishna directly. And the arrows what I shot was going and hitting Krishna's body and blood was coming from there. And at that stage, and I was thinking that will Krishna take the weapon or not? But he wanted to honor me by taking the weapon. That is a devotee. So I understood at that time that even Krishna's words may not come true, but a devotee's words must come true. This was Arjuna's, Bhishma's words. At that time I understood that Krishna has shown mercy to me. It's all is in the Bhishma Stuti. If you study Bhishma Stuti, you will see these things. And then Krishna, Bhishma says there, now it is time for me to go, he says to Krishna. And Krishna smiled at that time and Bhishma left this world. So, why we are saying all these things is, devotee's life is a history. It's a great thing. And great devotees like Bhishma, like Parikshit Maharaj, like Uddhava, all of them have something to tell us. That don't mistake bhakti with the bhakti what we have. You will not see them, any of these great personalities, talking to Krishna in the way we talk to Krishna. Our language is a different language. Their language is a completely different way they approach Krishna, number one. Whenever all of them had to go through a lot of distress in their life, all these personalities, including all the devotees up to right now, including Srila Prabhupada. It is distress in their life that has turned them strongly to Krishna. And that distress Krishna has forced upon them so that they will be fixed in that position, never again to move away from there. So, Soyam kalena kalo jayadi madaribo yatra sangirtana desneha dveshanuragehi prabhurdi viradulai ashramai yoga vedaihi. Then earlier in the Bhagavatam, it says that various kinds of emotions, lust, anger, fear, hate, all these things, if it is directed towards Krishna, it can become a reason for liberation, to get out of this world, isn't it? It's there in the Bhagavatam. Gopya kamal bhayal kamsa deshe chaityadayo nirva sambandho krishna yasnehal yuyam bhaktiya vayam vibho. So bhakti has all these different scenarios in the bhakti. Then it says, soyam kaleya kalo jayadi. This Kali is the most glorified state of all the four yugas. Why? Kali Yuga is the only time when you get a lot of distress. You don't get it in the other ages. This is why Kali is so important. Kali is not a bad age. Because in Kali, you can get this plenty. This thing called distress. So, Soyam Kaleya Kalo Jayadi. All glories to Kali, devotee is saying. All glories to this age of Kali. Why? Jayadi Muraribo Yatra Sangirtana Desneha Dveshanuragaihi. Simply by getting distressed and chanting the holy name. That's all you have to do. You have to get distressed first. Not otherwise. Sneha Dveshanuragaihi. Sneham, love. Dvesham, hate. Anuragam means attachment, like the gopi said. Sneha Dveshanuragaihi. Prabhridibi adulai ashramai yoga vedaihi. All these has become different yoga processes for the age of Kali. Just like jnana yogam, karma yogam, bhakti yogam. Similarly, we have now hate yogam, loving yogam, anger yogam. All these yoga systems have come in the Kali yogam. All of these yoga system, that means completely disturbed and distressed in life due to some reason or the other, if you accept that distress and chant the Yatra Sangirtana Dehi, if you chant the holy name along with that distress in there, Sneha Dvesha Anuragai Prabhridibi Adulaihi Ashramai Yoga Vedaihi. All this Yoga Vedam has happened. Artim Tirtha Samastam Amrita Padamagum. That distress alone will make you advance in spiritual life. The distress alone will make you advance in spiritual life. Why? After all, what is spiritual life? To get disgusted with this world and feel detached from this world, renunciation from this world, and no more desire to enjoy senses and sense enjoyment in some form. Some people enjoy senses in a gross level, somebody enjoys in a subtle level. That's all the difference is. But it is sense enjoyment at the end. So, sneha dvesha anuragai prabhridviradulai ashramai yoga bedehi. So, devotee says to Krishna that this Kali Yugam is the best time to live in this world. Kali Yugam is the best time because this is the only age where you get this plenty without too much effort. Which one? The distress. Added to that, if you just add the holy name, Krishna says that you can come back from this world. Otherwise, it is not possible. So, therefore, in this Bhakti Yogam, what we have talked about, all ends up in meditation at the time when we have passed through all these stages. Otherwise, it is not going to happen. It's not something that is in our control to a large extent. Sadhana is good. Chanting the holy name is good. And all these sadhana and everything, is only to eventually to purify inside, Chitta Shuddhi. In that purified state, the spiritual knowledge of Srimad Bhagavatam will manifest without any difficulty. In order that self-realization and the knowledge in the Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita to manifest inside, the ground has to be prepared. And preparation of that ground is this, what is done by the distress. Distress does that, to that extent. So now the choice is ours, which way to go. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. We will have the next class at the end, the last November, which is on the 6th, 28th November. That is the next Bhagavatam, 28th of November, the last Sunday in November. And Narada Bhakti Sutram on 27th afternoon at 2 o'clock. So, all glories to Srila Prabhupada. For the Bhagavadam classes in July, which we have planned, those who want to put their name down, please.
I've got a poster, form.
Yeah, there's a form which is circulated. If you can put your name down, it will help.